Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with George W. Bush. I'm so honored to have you visit our little community here, our Homeschool Companion and Education Currents listening community. Thank you for taking this time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Well, it's good to be here. I appreciate you so much for, giving me the opportunity to continue to connect with my peeps.
Now, whatever inspired you to become president of the United States?
Well, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want people saying, you're just following in your father's footsteps, and you're just trying to, eat off the gravy train, and all. So, but I felt the call.
Yeah.
I felt like it was God's will. So I had to.
And, you know, that's a great metaphor because many of us think we're going to do our own thing and not follow in our father's footsteps.
Mm. Hey,
so that's a great metaphor.
Yes, that's true. In fact, it's funny. As believers, you and I have the same father.
That's
and it's not 41.
That's right. That's right. So you decided, or they approached you probably, do you want to become president? And they convinced you that this is what you wanted to do. Did you feel like it was divinely led to be so?
I guess the biggest question is, who is they?
Well, it could be a committee that we don't know about. Maybe it has to do with the wealthiest people in the world.
That's true. They talk about them secret societies and stuff.
Yes, the Illuminati.
And everybody knows I was part of the Skull and Bones, but we don't want to talk about that because there's too much fun stuff to talk about.
No, but let's set the record straight. Are you part of the Skull and Bones?
To that extent, I would like to say that my strategy is to continue to communicate excellent values with the American people.
Yes, and for whatever reasons, you don't want to comment on that.
On what?
Whether you are a member of the Skull and Bones.
The Skull and Bones.
Yes.
I think that that there are opportunities that people have every day to lift up their fellow man. And, whether you get your values from your mom and dad or from your Sunday school teacher or, like me, from the Bible, you just got to follow your principles and lead by your values and don't let anybody talk you out of them.
Yes. And there's a good analogy there, too, because Jesus was often criticized for associating with the publicans. And I'm sure if he was here today.
With the Republicans.
And I'm sure if he was here today,
he's associated with all the Democrats too.
He would say, I associated with the publicans, but I followed my father's leading.
Well said.
So you can say the same thing. Now, have you learned what date Pearl Harbor happened?
Well, December 7th. I know what year it was. I'm not too sure.
Because early on in your campaign, you messed up on that.
Well,
do you remember
that? I'm a big picture thinker.
Okay,
the question is, did we beat them?
Yes, that, and did we?
Oh, yes.
We did beat them, so you got an A-plus on that. I mean, you've often been criticized or made fun of in your big picture thinking, and that you hadn't paid enough attention to detail.
Well, I enjoy being underestimated.
You enjoy being underestimated.
Yes, because people don't see me coming.
Well, I guess they really don't see you coming. They probably think it's someone else coming if you're overly underestimated. Okay. So, you have a wonderful sense of humor. How did that keep you instead during your term as president?
Well, I had to balance the the constant conflict between Laura and my mother.
Oh, really?
And that gave me a sense of humor because, you know, you just got, you know, when life makes lemons, you know, give mm-hmm. you lemonade.
Yes. Yes. Now, your wife is very educated and comes across very classy.
She is America's finest first lady.
Sorry, Mom. She really is. Well, I know your mom has a great sense of humor, too, and, you know, understands
Absolutely.
Exactly what you're saying and what you're implying.
Some of the finest people on the face of the earth.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, you're from Texas. Is Texas really the power to be reckoned with in the United States as far as if you were to take one lone state?
Yeah.
I guess that's said without any prejudice.
Oh, it's said with, you know, firsthand experience.
In your time in the White House, would you say, what was your favorite room in the White House?
The Blue Room.
The Blue Room.
Yeah, you know, the White House, man, I'll tell you, that place rocks. You know, there were places you could hide everywhere, you know. And Halloween time, man, we'd have so much fun, you know. And I'd hide under the piano, you know, and somebody come walking by and I'd say, hey, Condi, boo! Hey, Cheney, boo! No, I better not. Check your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, and besides, you don't want to get shot at.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And did they have someone that kind of filled in for you so that on some of these excursions it was like a decoy or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not allowed to elaborate on the use of the decoyamus.
But there was. Okay.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I did not say that.
We'll move to a different topic. Air Force One.
Oh, what a man cave.
Yes. Describe it a little bit. Are you allowed to describe?
Sure.
Okay.
No, you can come see it.
You're not afraid of heights.
Oh, no. No, I love bungee jumping and parachute diving and stuff like that. Dad, of course, is a famous parachuter.
Mm-hmm.
And, I talked to the GoDaddy people one time. I wanted to do a commercial, Super Bowl commercial, you know, where, Daddy could jump out of a plane, you know,
yes.
and be doing all those tricks, you know, mm-hmm. with the spin around and stuff like that, and he could hold a sign that says, "Who's your daddy?" And then I could jump out of the plane and zoom past him, and I could hold up a sign that says, "Go, Daddy."
That's a great idea. I'm surprised, and they might still take you up on it.
You never know.
Yes, you never know. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book. You know, you have a book.
Oh, yes, Decision Points.
Decision Points.
Yes, it's still doing very well. It spent much time as a bestseller. And, you know, if you want to know what I thought and what motivated my decisions, you know, read the book.
Yes.
And buy the hardcover. Cost more. Make more. It's good. You know, I like thinking through the decision-making process. And if you read the book, it you might make better decisions yourself. It's one of those kind of, I was thinking about other people, you know.
And that's our whole purpose on life, is to help other people.
That's exactly correct.
And I look at you, and I've studied you often, and I think...
Well, thank you.
You know, here is someone who, you know, is somewhat criticized because they have a Texan accent. You know, the Southern accent, we tend to think, aren't as intelligent as us Northern people.
Texans don't criticize me for it.
Well, I'm glad, because when I read your book, I realized this is a deep-thinking person who took very seriously their role in the presidency.
Took the role seriously. That's the key.
Yes.
Take your job seriously. Don't take yourself seriously.
That is. That's a great key. Now, tell me a little bit about your children.
Oh, man. Where do I begin? It's wonderful to see Jenna getting married off, you know, and that was a hard job.
Yes.
You know, because we used to have to, you know, we'd seek the Secret Service on the boys that would come calling, you know, and if we didn't like them, we'd just tase them.
Well, I guess that was a very good way to weed out the chaff.
Yes, I know. We try not to let that get out on the media because we were afraid they'd say, that's shocking.
Well, as you can probably guess, I am here with John Morgan, and he is impersonating George W. Bush.
This has been fun.
Yes. And when we come back, we're going to really go into our conversation a little more seriously. But I hope you have enjoyed this first segment of the show. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm talking with John Morgan, who is the premier impersonator of George W. Bush. In fact, as I look at you, I really feel like I'm talking to George W. Bush. He was the 43rd president of the United States. And tell us a little bit about how you got discovered.
Well, my wife, Kathy, and I, who, if you look on my website, you'll see a picture of her looking like Laura Bush.
Oh, really?
And we do the first couple here. I have.
Oh, yes. Well, what's the website?
Well, it's GeorgeBushImpersonator.com or JohnCMorgan.com.
Okay.
Both sites get to the same place. And there's our picture there.
Oh, that is awesome.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun.
And some friends invited us to George W. Bush rally when he was governor of Texas running for president. For the first time. And I didn't even know what he looked like. And so I had no clue that I looked like him. And it was one of his full-time staffers that was, for the first time, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you know, you look a lot like W."
And so then you started developing your accent?
No. It was 3 years into his first term before somebody said to me, "You know, there's an industry of lookalikes, and you could become a George Bush impersonator." But my Christian paradigm didn't have any room for God blessing an impersonator. So I just said, no way, I'm not going to do it. Plus the whole fear of, you know, what would people think? That's just so weird and quirky. And, you know, I've got children, I've got friends now, you know. And I just dismissed it. But 3 months later, my wife saw someone impersonating President Bush on national television. And she got excited. She did a web search. And she found these two guys out there making a really nice living. When she saw how much they got for an appearance, she came and woke me up out of a dead sleep. She grabbed me by the scruff of my pajamas and said, "You will too become a George Bush impersonator." So I just said no, but this thought came to me: what if it's God?
Yeah,
you know, He's done all kinds of strange and unorthodox things all through history. It's all throughout the Word. So who was I to say it wasn't? So I went into a season of prayer, and at the end of that, I knew that God indeed wanted me to become a George Bush impersonator. And so once I knew it was God, it was just a question of, are you going to obey or not? And since I know that He's never made a mistake, in fact, there's one of my favorite nuggets in my book is, if you find yourself arguing with God, guess who's wrong?
Yes, that's a great statement. Now, what book is that?
That's my book, My Life is a Bush and My Heart for Imitating Jesus, on Creation House.
My Life is a Bush.
And Governor Huckabee wrote the foreword to it.
For Imitating Jesus. Very nice. So, yeah, now you feel impressed to be a George W. Bush impersonator. And what's the first step that someone would do?
Well, just like anything else you want to learn, the Internet.
Yes.
So I just typed in impersonator on the website, and within a few minutes, I was deep in the heart of this entire industry and talking to folks that could help me know what to do next. And they showed me the ropes and, you know, gave me sign points. And next thing I know, here I am talking with you 10 years later.
Yes.
After having been on national television all over the world, China, Japan, Germany, Holland. And what a blast to have been on stages large and small, appeared with President Bush. It's just nuts, but it's just been absolutely outstanding.
Now reflecting back, your heart for imitating Jesus, how have you seen the dots connect?
I tell audiences, they get so excited because they think it's really President Bush.
Yes.
But they're sort of dismissive about their own relationship with Jesus Christ. And the book is designed to call people back to that amazing fascination with the Lord, with our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus was so passionately in love with his Father. He talked about him all the time. He could never stop talking about how awesome his dad was. And as believers, as people who have been recipients of this incredible unmerited favor, that all of our sins are gone. They've been taken, you know, he who knew no sin became sin for mm-hmm. us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I mean, the gospel is so explosively wonderful. But as Christians, you know, we tend to forget that. We tend to become mm-hmm. sort of complacent about it. So I'm calling people to a fresh love for Christ and for our Heavenly Father, the same passion that Christ had. And as imitators of Christ, too, loving one another is a big part of that as well, because he poured out his life that others would be saved, so we can pour our lives into the gospel and into showing other folks where he is. So I tell people at the end of a show, I'll say, you know, it's not that big of a deal to be an impersonator of the president. In fact, it's not really even that big of a deal necessarily to be the president of the United States, but to be a Christian mm-hmm. is a very big deal.
That's a wonderful testimony. Has there been times when this industry stretched your Christian faith?
No, I've not experienced that at all. It has stretched my sense of what I could do. The calling of what I do has placed an offer within my soul to do more, to be more, and to accomplish more than I ever thought I could. And it's so exciting, because I was always a very small thinker, and doing this has given me the opportunity to be on huge stages in front of, you know, thousands of people, things that would have scared me to no end mm-hmm. before. But and then to be an author, to, you know, to have a book published and now working on a second one, War on Fear, it's so exciting. And I even have bigger things, you know, beyond mm-hmm. that. And, you know, it's like there's a scripture that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And so I'm just trying to say, God, how big are you? You know,
yeah.
how big, and just allowing him to lead with God-sized dreams mm-hmm. and vision. So it's stretching my faith.
Yeah, so the war on fear, I mean, that's huge. I work with young people, and I say, you have a choice to either, you know, feed yourself fear food or faith food.
Mm.
You know, you're very vulnerable when you're fearful. You're very strong when you're faithful. So how that war on fear, describe that book.
Well, it is similar to the first book. It's written in the first person, and I share my own journey from fear to faith, from fear to obedience. And often those are the choices that we mm-hmm. face on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. And then there are kind of a little study, reflections, and questions for reflection, so that you can take the book and use it to examine your own life and find those pockets where you have almost agreed with fear as a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
you know, or become smaller than the picture that God sees of you, because you've allowed fear to put you in this little box. And it's calling people to the greatness for which they were created. The theme verse is John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come, God has come, to give us life abundant, full, and God-sized. And, you know, calling individual people to address their own soul, their own life, and find out where they've acquiesced to these voices that are lying to us
mm-hmm.
and therefore stealing from us.
And a parent that would read this book, it would be a gift to their child, because we perpetuate that fear from generation to generation. Almost all addictive and high-risk behaviors, if you peel it all back, is from a sense of fear and insecurity.
Inadequacy, yes, absolutely. That's
so,
the way it was for me. And I was very addicted. Drugs, sex, alcohol, the whole nine yards. And it was all based on a fear of rejection, fear of inadequacy, of never being enough, never being loved. And, you know, God set me free from all of those things. And now I want to just serve others.
What a wonderful testimony. My life as a bush and my heart for imitating Jesus. If you listen to the first half of the show, he actually played the part of George W. Bush for the first 11 minutes or so. It was a lot of fun. And then in the second half, we've just been talking in a more serious conversation of the book, My Life as a Bush and My Heart for Imitating Jesus. Is it also available as an e-book?
Mm-hmm.
And then your newest release, which is War on Fear.
That's due out in the fall.
I didn't get to go through all of your awards. And sometimes when I look at all of them, I can really see how God takes a man who's willing to let God's plans lead in their lives. Because you've already talked about that, you know, you had small thoughts, but God had large thoughts for you and continues to have large thoughts for you.
When I was younger, back in the 80s, I wanted to be a Christian rock star. You know, I had a lot of character issues, but I was a musician, and I recorded two albums, and I thought, you know, I wanted to go on tour and do all this fun stuff. And I remember my debut at the Gospel Music Week in Nashville. There was this upstart, just getting a start, as I was trying to do, this guy named Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I thought he was pretty cool, you know. And but after a season of arrogance and trying to push doors open, the Lord called me to lay that whole ministry down. And for the next 20 years, I thought it would be maybe 2 years or two months. For the next 20 years, I spent working in my parents' appliance store in Orlando, Florida. You know, on the worship team at church, but nothing in ministry. And then after 20 years and all this George Bush thing evolved, and I wound up actually going on tour with Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Isn't that
so
wonderful?
My dream of doing the rock and roll tour actually took place in a completely different form, but, you know, to God be the glory. It's such a blast.
Did you get to do any of your impersonating on the
tour?
Oh,
yeah, that was the whole thing, yeah.
Oh,
it was during Winter Jam. It's their 10th anniversary. And George W. came out and, you know, did a little this and that. And it was very fun.
Did you ever have to do anything fearful? I mean, did you have to, like, be a decoy or anything like that?
I'm not allowed to talk about that. No, I'm just kidding. No, no, I like keeping the mystery up, so I say,
yeah.
I'm not allowed to talk about
that.
Well,
that makes sense, you know, because you might have to impersonate him again sometime.
That's right.
So we don't want to give it away. We don't even want anybody to know you exist.
Yes, and it, by all means, don't let them know about the skull and bones.
Well, this is a great way to conclude the show. First of all, thank you so much for being with us. It's so inspirational because all of us have our fears and insecurities, and we have, you know, Satan going around roaring like a lion telling us we're worthless. And you're here as a testimony to say, look it, God loves you. He knows the plans he has for you. And when you let his plans be your plans instead of trying to make your plans his plans, you will be successful. And I want to go over that website again. It's johncmorgan.com. It's all spelled out, johncmorgan.com. The letter C, not the word
yes,
C.
Yes, correct.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much. We look forward to the War on Fear coming out. That'll be a great addition to any Christian's library. One last thing to say, and that is God bless.
God bless America.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.